Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. All right, praise God. All right, we've been talking about the subject of love for several weeks. This is really a theme the Lord had laid on my heart to share with you, and something's really happened in our congregation as a result of the love of God being spread. And so today, our main scripture we'll get to, not right away, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. And the title of the message is, What Does Love Look Like? What does love look like? And that ought to be the question that you and I have as children of God, born of love, born of the Spirit of God. We are here on this earth to express the love of God through our lives and whatever we do, whether it's singing or music, preaching, teaching, ministering, business, we're here to express the love of God. And the Word of God is how we know that, how we learn to know God. And I'm looking for something, and I can't find it, but that's all right. So the Word of God is what teaches us what God's like. And it also teaches us that Jesus came to give us an abundant life. And so we need to be seeking that abundant life. Okay, do me a favor. Y'all breathe and put on a better smile. Making me nervous. Here's a revelation that I personally have, and it could go on and on. The more I know God, the more I love Him. The more I love God, the more I trust Him. And the more I trust Him, the more I relax. It's amazing. I've known the Lord since being born again at age 19, but I've grown more probably in the past few years than I ever have in my lifetime. And the more I know Him, the more I love Him. This past Monday, I got alone with the Lord and had a conversation. And my conversation was with God. Let me tell you exactly what it was here. I said, Lord, this was last Monday. I said, Lord, yesterday in church was a wild day at church. And yet 12 people left the service before it ended. I know you know, but can you tell me what's going on? That was my question to God. And this is what I believe the Lord replied to me. I didn't hear an audible voice. It was just in my heart, and I wrote it down in red. And it said, He said, some people have a hard time believing and receiving from Me. And then I said, how can I help them receive from You? Go back to there you go. Okay. Then he also added to that. He said a lot more people than that left my own son. I mean, He did. Jesus had multitudes. When He got up and said some mysterious things and wild things happened, He didn't try to explain it to everybody's liking. Some walked away. When He talked about, He told them, He said, this bread is My body and this cup is My blood. Many of them thought He was talking about cannibalism. And they said, this is a hard thing. And a crowd started getting up and walking out of Jesus' service. And He didn't try to explain it. He let them go. So a lot more people, God said, left My own son than your 12. So basically, then I said to him, he said, help them. I said, what can I do about it? He said, teach them My word and that I have given you. This is what the Lord, Holy Spirit said to me. And I said, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Is there any further guidance You have for me? He said this, rest, Gary. Trust Me. Relax. Let go of all cares. Do not be burdened about anything. Set your mind on the things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God and not on the things on the earth. And I replied, Lord, please lead me and direct me to do this. And he says, he has said this phrase to me often. He said, I am and I will. That was Monday. And then he led me, I was on my back porch, and he led me, this is all in my quiet time with God, to go look at 1 Corinthians 14, which talks about some of the weird gifts of God, like prophecy and tongues, things like that, the things that are controversial. In 1 Corinthians 14, my eyes caught this scripture. God said he's sending a corrective letter to a church that was abusing the gifts in the wrong way. And he's giving them a corrective letter through the Apostle Paul, the teacher. And God says to this church, he says, if anyone speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three at most, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him remain silent in the church. Now we'll stop there for a moment. How would you know if there's an interpreter? Well, maybe you think, well, I know so-and-so has interpreted tongues before. Maybe they'll interpret, but how would you know? That's all being Spirit-led. You'd have a green light from God to give a public tongue if God already knew he's going to give the interpretation to somebody, and you just have a green light in your heart to do it. I just thought that was interesting. I just wanted to point that out. But if there is no interpreter, let him remain silent in the church. Sometimes you got to hold things. And then let him speak to himself and to God. He's praying in tongues. Let him speak to himself and to God. Then it goes on to say, let two or three prophets speak. And let the others judge. Now, this is an important thing here I want to bring out. How do we judge prophecies? We're told to judge it. We judge it, the Old Testament way was if it didn't come to pass, you stoned the prophets. Everybody breathe. That's the Old Testament way. The New Testament way is that there's a possibility that a prophet could get things wrong. And we judge prophecies two ways. One, with the Word of God. Is it in agreement with what the written word of God says? That's your confirmation. And if it's not in agreement with the written word of God, throw it out. And the other way is it in agreement with the nature or the character of God, who is love? Has it come across with the nature of God in it? So you judge prophecies. When someone says, I have a word from the Lord, you listen. Then you judge it with the word and with the nature or the love of God, the character of God. 1 Corinthians 14, 31, look at this. For all may prophesy. Do you know you can all prophesy? You know what prophecy is? Inspired speech. Inspired speech. God inspires you to say something. It could be to build up someone, encourage someone, edify something. You have probably prophesied and didn't even know it. Doesn't have to be in a church setting. You prophesy for comfort, for edification, to build up somebody else. And so we all prophesy, but in the church setting, he said, let it be one by one. Notice that all may what? Breathe. Come on, answer me. That all may learn. God wants you to, he knows that this is something you have to learn. A lot of you are new to this church, and you've never heard prophecy in church before, tongues before, and so you're kind of like tapping on the brakes saying, I don't know if I want to go with all this stuff. Well, you're here to learn. It's in the Bible. God never said it's gone away. He put these gifts in the New Testament, like tongues and prophecy. It's right there in 1 Corinthians 14. He says that all may learn. So there's going to be a learning curve for us. If you're new to this, don't be afraid. It's in the Word of God. But you're all going to learn. So when it says that all may learn, it also implies that sometimes you're going to make a mistake. I'm going to go preaching to my, I'm going to preach to myself. I nod, say amen. Yeah, because this is interactive here. That you may learn. You learn. You learn. How do you learn? How'd you learn to ride a bicycle? Do you ever fall? How'd you learn to write? How'd you learn to sing? How'd you learn to whatever? You learn, you made mistakes in the process. And God's saying, be gracious now that all may learn. Sometimes you're going to get an inspired word that's for the church, and you've never done this before, and it's going to take all the courage you can muster to come up here to the pastor and say, I believe I have a word from the Lord, and I may ask you, what is it? Just give me the gist of it, and I'll give you the okay to share it, or I'll say, hold it, or not now, or whatever. And don't get your feelings hurt if all of a sudden I say, not now. There's an order. God puts a pastor in the church to help the church to operate in an order. So we're all going in the same direction. Doesn't mean that you didn't hear from God if I say hold on to it right now. It just may not be for right now. I may make a mistake. Maybe it is for right now, and I may make a mistake. So we have to be gracious with one another. And so we're going to make some mistakes, but 1 Corinthians 14:32 and following, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. If someone says, I can't help it, I have to speak this now, oh no, you don't. You can hold it. Truth does not decay. A word from God doesn't age and get old. If it's from God, yes, you can hold it. Well, I'm going to bust if I, well, just bust. We'll clean it up. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to point out to you, yes, you can. Yes, you can. For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Therefore, brothers, eagerly desire to prophesy. We should all be saying, God, give me a prophetic word. Let me prophesy today. And do not forbid speaking in tongues. This is New Testament. So all of you right now saying, I don't believe in the gift of tongues, you ought to repent by reading God's word right there. God said, don't forbid it. Just because you don't understand it, don't forbid it. Let all things be done in decency and in order. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Do not quench the Spirit. That means put out the Spirit's fire. You should be adding to the fire. When you feel momentum from the worship team and you feel it up here, and the front rows are the best seats in the house. I don't know if you guys know that. But you feel the momentum and the energy and the love and the expression of praise coming off this worship team. You shouldn't quench the Spirit by just going,
I ain't clapping my hands. And I certainly ain't going to do that. And I certainly ain't going to do that. That just looks ridiculous.
Remember David's wife? David danced before the ark of the Lord as it was in celebration, as it was coming into Jerusalem. And his wife looked down and despised him. He said, he's a king. He's acting like a fool. The people aren't going to respect that. God did. And David said to her, after he heard that, he said, oh, really? You ain't seen nothing yet. It gets worse, believe me. We're just starting. And so when we look at 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. It's possible that You look at somebody and you judge them, or for whatever reason, maybe you don't like them, or maybe you don't think they're genuine, you think they're phony or whatever, and then they come up to speak and you just think, oh, listen to that, and they're just and you can despise prophecies that's sent from God through a human being that's flawed, but sent to speak to you, and you despise prophecy. You won't receive it. Examine all things. Everything that shines is not gold. We have to discern what's from God and what's not from God. hold on to that which is good. Now, I'll give you my interpretation of that. It's real short. Eat the fish and spit out the bones. You're going to get some bones. Just don't worry about it. Just eat the fish. Don't dwell on that. Just spit it out and keep going. Don't let that distract you. Okay? My question is, why would God give such weird gifts to the church, knowing full well it's going to be controversial? Knowing full well there are going to be some people that say, that is not of God. Why would God give things like tongues, interpretation tongues, prophecy that could be abused, could be misused, could be flawed, casting demons out, oh my goodness, and all that stuff. Why would, and healing, that's another controversial area. Why would God give these gifts to the New Testament church? You ready? Four reasons and probably a million more, but because it requires faith beyond your intellect. Because it stretches you. Because it takes spiritual discernment. Because it takes courage. Weirder things are about to happen, ladies and gentlemen. If you have trouble choking on this, you're going to have a hard time with things to come. Now, we have to be discerning. We've got to be judging. We've got to make sure something's of God and it's not, and what's not of God, because the devil will produce a counterfeit. I love this quote. You've heard me use this quite often from Bill Johnson. I absolutely love this. God never contradicts his word. Amen? Amen. But he often contradicts my understanding of his word. Boy, that has been true all of my life. There was a time I did not believe in the gift of tongues. I was in the Baptist church, and I read a lot of John MacArthur books. And he pretty well convinced me that no, tongues were no more, and it had stopped at Pentecost, and everything ceased, and I just believed everything John said. I said, okay, John, you're smarter than me. I believe you. So I just believed that I had I don't believe that. I believe that's a learned behavior. I believe people get caught up in emotion. They think it's God, but they're deceived. Years later, my curiosity peaked, and I kept peeking into that and learning from that and learning from some people, even in my Baptist church that said they spoke in tongues. I thought they were kind of weird, but then there were some that I knew were really solid, spiritual, grounded, and I respected even though I disagreed with them. And then years later, in the previous church 20 years ago in the Baptist church, we had a revival, and during the revival, all kinds of things broke out. It was like, oh my goodness, the whole church changed overnight. And we saw demons cast out, and we started a deliverance ministry. We didn't call it deliverance ministry because we didn't want anybody to get all freaked out over it. We called it prayer counseling. That's a nice way to say it. We're just prayer counseling. And we started in the back room, and we had prayer counseling for people. And it was incredible because demons were being cast out. They were being manifest. I saw things I'd never seen before in my life. Wow. And there was a time I went through deliverance. And deliverance is, you know, getting some strong, spiritual-minded people around you, asking the Lord to show them if there are things that strongholds of the enemy and so forth that need to come out of you. And they identified very quickly some things. And one of them was double-mindedness from a fear of man. And in fact, it was a doctor, my physician, and a chiropractor. Chiropractor started the deliverance ministry. And they prayed with me and cast out a spirit of fear of man and double-mindedness. And I didn't see anything. I didn't manifest anything. My head didn't spin around, and I didn't puke out any green stuff. So, you know, I kind of wanted it to be dramatic, but it wasn't that dramatic, you know. And I began to notice a change, though. My wife began to notice change. People began to notice change. I had more boldness than I'd ever had before. And I was preaching in the Baptist church on spiritual gifts. And I would take one gift a week on Wednesday night and teach on that. And well, lo and behold, I said, what are you going to do when the gift of tongues comes up? Are you going to lie and say you don't believe that anymore? Are you going to preach the way the church is going to accept it? Are you going to tell them the truth that you pray in tongues now? Because by then I'd been praying in tongues. So I was challenged with that, and I was scared a little bit. But that night when I preached on tongues, at the end of preaching about it, and everybody's nodding their heads, oh, yeah, that's good teaching. Yeah, we believe that. We believe that, you know. And I confessed. I said, I want to tell you all something. I myself pray in tongues on my own, privately in my prayer closet. And I watched the congregation like I did right now. I was going to see if there's anybody go, and nobody. They look just like you guys. They look, And about a week later, I was called to have a deacon's meeting because of I said this. And the deacons meeting, they charged me with this. You have changed. Praise God. You have changed. You're not the same way you were 10 years ago when you started here. I didn't know enough to say hallelujah. I'm put on the spot. You know, you have changed. The oldest deacon, a dear man, Brother Mac, the oldest deacon, he's probably in his 80s, he said to me these words, I'll never forget it. He said, Brother Gary, we don't know what you are, but you ain't a Baptist. I never forgot that. He prophesied, I guess, you know. And then I'm trying to shorten the story. It got kind of ugly. Then there was an big undercurrent in the church. Get rid of me because I was leading the church in the charismatic way and away from Baptist. And they didn't act in love, but I didn't respond in love. Had I known today what I know today, back then, I would have saved myself and a lot of people a lot of hurt. They're right. You changed. They're right. We don't know what you are. That's right. I didn't know what I was. It got ugly, and a lot of people got needlessly hurt. And when people's hearts are not directed in the love of God, they get hurt, and they hurt people. I reacted in self-defense. I reacted in fear. Fear I was going to lose my job. Fear I've been there 10 years. We're going to lose all the ground that we gained and so forth like that. I didn't operate in love. I didn't react in love. They didn't act in love, but I didn't react in love. You can't control other people, how they're going to act or react to you. We're here to express the love of God that God has given us. So I ask you a question here. I was missing a revelation of love. They were missing a revelation of love. So the question should have been to me, if I had to do it all over again at that moment, I would stop and ask myself this question. What does love look like in this situation? How does love respond to this? How does love react to this? And my reaction, my response would have been totally different than it was. I responded out of fear, self-preservation, and in Baptist church, in that church, you know, we always had issues, and whenever we had issues, it came to the Baptist business meeting, and in the Baptist business meeting, we fought it out, and you get up and say whatever you want to say, and then it comes to a vote, and the vote is supposed to be the end of it, and I figured, okay, here we go again, we're going to have a big business meeting, and it's going to be ugly, get ready, and we're going to fight it out, and there are going to be some people who don't like it, and they're going to leave, and they'll go to another Baptist church. That's how you start more Baptist churches. I apologize. That's my sarcasm. usually right next door. I apologize for that too. I'm sorry. What does love look like in your situation that you're facing? That's the question you ought to ask yourself. My friend Quentin told me some time ago, everything God does, he does out of love. Everything God does is fueled and directed by love to express love. Everything. Everything God does. Even if he corrects you, it's out of love. I believe that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Here's the your launching pad. And I have two versions. I have the first version in the modern English version, the second one in the Message Bible. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness, endurance, and patience of Christ. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God, to express the love of God. Message Bible, may the Master take you by the hand and lead you along the path of God's love and endurance. When God is leading you, it will always be an expression of love. Expression of Him and His love. You want to know if God's leading you? That's the way it'll come out. It'll be an expression of love. Galatians 5:6 says that faith works by love. So even the gifts, when you're flowing in the gift, it's fueled by love. It's not fueled by self. I want to be noticed. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. No, it's fueled by love. I want to help. I want to bless. I want to encourage. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us very clearly, I don't care if you're a great preacher, you're a great worshiper, you're a great prophet, you're a great whatever, giver, whatever it may be. Anything without love is a zero. If it's not fueled by love, it's not expression of God. It's an expression of yourself. So, I want to take you back now to the beginning of the message. Get ready, we're going to land the plane. I take you back to the beginning of the message. 20 years ago, when I went through that ordeal of the former church, ultimately it was a good experience. But 20 years ago, Pam, if we had to do it all over again, now that the revelation of love that we have, we would have done it totally different. Totally different. And not near as many people would have been hurt, and we wouldn't have been hurt. We had to get healed of this and carried around wounds and stuff for years. It was just needless because we didn't respond in love. We didn't respond in love. We responded with fight and fear. I take you back to that revelation that if you'll carry this with you, it'll remind you of what love looks like. I should have responded differently. Now, I take you back. This is what I've learned in 20 years. The more I know God, the more I love Him. The more I love God, the more I trust Him. And the more I trust God, the more I relax. He's got this. He knows all about it. All I need to know is, God, how do you want me to respond in love to this? How do you want me to respond to ugliness? How do you want me to respond to meanness or whatever it may be? How does love respond? Teach me how to respond in love. Boy, things would be totally different. When God brings people to mind, He brings you, many of you, to my mind often when in prayer, in my prayer time, I ask God, God, is there somebody on your mind today that you want me to pray about? And many times He'll give me one or two people, usually one or two at a time, usually two at the most, because He knows I'll be scatterbrained otherwise. And so He brings some of you to mind, and I say, how should I pray for them, Lord? And often this is the reply. Lately it's been this: they need a revelation of my love. So that's what I pray for you, to have a revelation. They need it because they're going to mess up. They're going to get angry. They're going to get ugly. They're going to say things that they wish they'd never said. They're going to hurt people, and they're going to get hurt. They need a revelation of my love. And then I ask God, okay, God, you told me how to pray for them. What do I need, Lord? He says you need a revelation of love. It ain't like you got it all. There's more to learn. I need a greater revelation of the love of God. It'll change me. It'll change you. And then people will say, that's what love looks like. That's what love looks like. Just the way you respond. Just the way you deal. That's what love looks like. And we'll become expressions of the love of God. Last night, my son called. Many of you don't know our son, Andrew. He's in jail. He's been in jail for a year. About 20 years of his life, he's been in jail and prison because of drugs. But he's doing really well right now, I'm telling you. He's hearing from God. He's a prophet. I'm telling you, he's a prophet. He is a prophet. He prophesies to us. I have pages. He prophesied to his mom. He prophesied to me. And I'm, he's going to be much greater than his mom and dad. He's got an anointing. He'll probably minister to people out in the streets that would never come to church. Woo, man, he's street smart. He's got discernment. A musician. He can play the guitar. He can play the keyboard without ever having a lesson. I hate people like that. He's really good. He's good. Well, anyway, last night, to introduce you to him, last night he called me from jail, and we were talking, and he started telling me this story. I forget how we got there. Several years ago, I'll try to make this brief, he got beat down by some guards, and he was working with a chaplain in the prison. This is a prison up in that time, Panhandle, North Florida. And so up there, it's kind of a good old boys place, you know. They prejudice and don't like black people. And there's a black chaplain there, and the black chaplain asked Andrew to come and play the keyboard for him. And Andrew said, sure. And the chaplain was new to the prison. And these good old boy guards said, told Andrew, got him alone privately, and said, you're not going to go play the keyboard in the chapel service. He said, oh, yes, I am. The chaplain told me. He said, no, Washburn, you're not. Just remember that. Well, he kept doing it. Well, one night, they got him in an area where there were no cameras, just happened to be no cameras there. And they beat him down bad. He had to go to the hospital, get stitched up and everything. Here's what he told me last night. I didn't know this until last night, Pam. I bet you didn't know this. But he said, Dad, as soon as the guards, I could tell they were going to hit me and hurt me. They said they were going to kill me. He said, I started praying in tongues. I didn't know what else to do, and I started praying in tongues. And he said, I started praying in tongues. He said, one guard looked at me real strange, probably because he never heard tongues before. And he said, he hit me, Dad, but I didn't feel it. He got knocked out, but he said, I didn't feel it. He said, next thing I know, I woke up, and my head was busted open, and they were taking me, I was bleeding, and they were taking me away on a stretcher. He said, I didn't feel it. I was praying in tongues. I didn't feel it. I didn't know that. I said, wow, God, you are our protector. We shouldn't fear anything. Perfect love casts out all fear. God fights for you. He will fight for you. Unless you're going to fight for yourself. If you're going to fight for yourself like I did back in the Baptist church, God will back away. It's okay. You want to be in control? Go ahead. You think you... Go ahead. Fight. Fight it out. And a lot of people get hurt. We got hurt. But if you'll step aside and say, God showed me. Show me how love looks and acts like in this situation. So I don't act out in the flesh and get ugly and nasty. God will intervene. He'll step in and supernaturally That's when things take over that you cannot explain. In the spiritual realm, I wish we had you had the eyes to see in the spiritual realm. The battle is raging around us all the time. Satan is out to kill, rob, and destroy from your life. He's out to distract you, disrupt you, do anything he can to bring harm to your life. And one of the ways he tries to do that is to get you to fight for yourself. Defend yourself. Speak up for yourself. No, we're here to speak up for God. So anyway, there's a battle going on. Last week, two people, I think it was, Michelle, said, I see a lion. Is that right? And then somebody spoke up and said, I heard the roar of a lion. Immediately, my mind went back to a scene in the Chronicles of Narnia. If you haven't seen that movie, look it up. It's rent it, watch it today. Chronicles of Narnia. The scene came to my mind that I want to show you right now. And while this scene is being shown to you, I want you to see what's going on in the spiritual realm to try to shut down love, quench the Spirit of God in you, to try to hinder you. And just at the time when you think that you're pinned down by the devil and all the forces of evil seem like they're going to prevail, God steps in and he roars. He just roars. And when he roars, he puts all the demons in their place. They go back. They've lost all their ground. So keep sitting and watching. I'm going to ask the elder altar workers, just come up here and be ready to minister afterwards. And then we'll have a moment where we have a couple of words, I think it was, some people want to share. And I want to hear that. So altar workers. I'm glad you put up with me. Thank God you put up with me. My wife's been putting up with me for 45 years. Pray for her. Oh, God, pray for her. I can be a smart aleck sometimes, brother. It's a gift. It's a gift. Gift of aggravation. All right, so house lights are going to go down, and you're just going to kick back and watch this and visualize yourself in this scene. Amen. All the lion has to do is roar. And when the lion roars, the enemy hears it. And he's put back in his place. You turn the house lights back up now. I want you to get that. What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid of people? Why do you fear anything? The devil knows the lion's roar. Amen. You get in trouble, the lion will roar. And all the enemy gets put right back in its place. That's what love looks like. Love will defend you and protect you. You hand me that microphone. And before we have the altar call itself, I purposely wanted to wait for any words or things to be shared this morning, except for Joanne's. That was perfect timing, so that we could kind of go through everything and then watch at the end. God's got something to say beyond the message. Let's hear it. Let's discern. Let's judge that. Kathy, you want to come up and share? Hold it close to you.
I could see why it was appropriate that you said hold this message. Mm-hmm. Based on his message. So last week, I'm Kathy Muldoon. Last week, I asked you to join me in armoring up and doing the spiritual warfare against the halftime at the Super Bowl.
That's right.
And all the human trafficking that goes on across the world, but especially at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes.
Well, we don't often hear answers to our prayer. You know, the prayer goes out, and God hears them, and he puts them in his bowl, and he decides what he wants to do with them. But occasionally, we get an answer. So, two things, basically. One was, and I don't want you to stop praying. I want you to stay armored up, because we are in major spiritual battle. across the world right now. And Barbara's got the spiritual battle class going on, and Gary's been preaching on it more. This is serious times, okay? Stay armored up every day and pray. So two things happened. One was the rehearsal of some of the satanic things. So for those of you who weren't here last week, there was the halftime show is a major spiritual praising and worshiping to Satan, okay? And some of you could notice that. But I found out later that some of the things they had planned, they had pulled. So God, praise the Lord, God had already ripped that out of there. In terms of the human trafficking, Operation Reclaim and Rebuild was largely successful. More than 80 participants in federal, state, and local enforcement agencies and task force from across California had a week-long statewide anti-trafficking operation Saturday and Sunday. They were able to get more than 80 people out of trafficking. They were able to capture them.
Wow, that's awesome.
And that they awesome. Arrested more than 413
Praise
people.
Praise God. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know what goes on, but a lot of this is internet stuff. They're making deals and they're making arrangements to meet young people, and they're going out in these places and meeting them and then capturing them. Yeah. So please, 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 stay armored up. The really wonderful thing is they are extracting the children and the people involved in human trafficking out from under the tunnels. That's where they are at. That's why we don't see them on the streets. They are down in tunnels, and they're blowing the tunnels up. Keep praying.
Wow.
And by the way, this is just a sidebar. He was talking about speaking in tongues. Today is my second anniversary for being able to speak in tongues. Isn't that great? And it's really because I learned here. I was around people who spoke in tongues. I wanted that gift, and the Lord graced me with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. That's awesome. That is awesome. Praise God. The altar workers are here to pray with anybody who needs prayer. We believe people need to be saved from their sins. There needs to be a time in your life where you're born of the Spirit of God, born of God. Amen. I'm going to talk more about Wednesday night about how some of these expressions happen and manifest in our lives. So I want to encourage you to come out Wednesday night at 6:30 as well. And then the greatest expression of love that I know is John 3:16, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe and trust and adhere to him would not perish, but have the life of God, everlasting life, in their lives so that they can live with him eternally. That's great love. If you've never received Jesus, you can believe in Jesus, but never receive him, I invite you to come forward, ask some questions. Get your questions answered. And get to know God in a personal, intimate way. I guarantee you, the more you know him, the more you'll love him. You can't help but that. And other things, others, many of you are born again believers and you need healing in your body or you need prayer for a situation that you don't know how to handle. The Bible says if you ask God for wisdom, but if you ask in faith, he'll give it to you. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you how love acts in your situation. Some of you have kids that are strayed out and away from God, and you have to just get believers to pray with you. When you come to church, take advantage of the moment. And when people are ready to pray with you about anything, and even if a matter is too private for you to tell the details, that's fine. You don't need to tell all the details. I just need prayer for something. Take advantage of that. And that's why we're here. So let's stand together. And I'm going to pray over you. And then we're going to be released and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the worship that's gone out today. We're stronger as a result of being here. We're encouraged as a result of being here today. We have some direction as a result of being here today. Lord, we are edified as a result of being here today. We can say collectively, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we are the benefactors. And we praise you, God. And as we go out into this world, give us grace to express the love of God, express you to people who don't know you, and may they come to know Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. encourage people to come up for prayer, Lord, as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, folks. Thanks for being here today. And if you're here for the first time, I'm going to be out in the front in a moment. Stop by and say hello. I'd love to meet you. Okay? Thank you.